Oh, they're bringing out the old old dogs to slam Donald Trump, Tom Brokaw, God bless him. And this is what people like Sean Spicer and others are, they're facing every day. The press is relentlessly biased, and too many of them are fabulously lazy. And you have to look no further than how they reported the healthcare debate over the last 3 or 4 weeks or so. The bill itself that Paul Ryan and others crafted, the Freedom Caucus's objection to it, the comments by people like Mike Lee and Senator Rand Paul, distorted beyond belief. They're the real roadblocks to change and reform. On Life's Et today, we have a great new piece about how Rand Paul and Mike Lee are keeping the healthcare deal alive. Conversations over the past 24 hours with top White House officials, including Reince Priebus, about how to move forward. Senator Rand Paul, who I think has made some of the best arguments about how to bring down the cost of healthcare of anyone speaking on television. He joins us now. Senator Paul, how are you? Great to talk to you.
Very good, Laura. Thanks for having me.
So a lot of people concluded that healthcare reform is dead. The Obamacare is the law of the land. A lot of finger pointing was going on, some at the Freedom Caucus, some at you, some at recalcitrant Democrats. But we understand that there have been really productive initial meetings between you and top White House officials about how to move forward.
Yes, we were there yesterday. Senator Lee and I were in the White House yesterday, and I think the conversation still goes on. So I don't think it's as precipitous as people say, oh, it's over, the door is closed, it's done. And some of that, you know, was coming from the White House. But I can tell you that the conversations between House conservatives, House moderates, all the different factions continue to go on, and they actually think they can come to an agreement and go back to the White House with this. The other thing I continue to remain very encouraged on is the idea of these buying groups, not only within states but nationally. And I'm encouraging the White House that their Department of Labor could decide and could define what is a healthcare association even without a change in the law. And I'll give you an example. I just met with the Kentucky Restaurant Association. They have probably a couple hundred thousand people who work in restaurants. And their insurance prices are going up 20-25% a year. These are lower wage employees that are lucky if they get insurance. I think if they pool together, either in a state association or a nationwide one, let's say President Trump were to legalize or normalize a nationwide restaurant association, we're now talking about millions of people that would have the leverage to get lower prices. I think this can be done by executive order, and we're encouraging the White House to do it.
I think you would have bipartisan support for this as well, correct?
Well, it's funny. They voted on this in the House, and nobody really reported it. Only four Democrats voted with all of the Republicans. But one thing it did do is it unified the Republicans. I don't understand Democrats' opposition to this, because the principle is basically of letting the little guy join together into a group to have power, to give consumers power against the insurance companies. And I can tell you the insurance companies hate this. They are absolutely opposed to letting the consumer join together to have leverage, because they know it'll dig into their profits. The insurance companies also doubled their profits under Obamacare, and the insurance companies are the ones lobbying for the Ryan plan because it gives them a backstop. If they lose money, the taxpayer picks up the bill.
So would it be, it's redefining, just so I understand, it's redefining the word association in a Department of Labor regulation? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, there's something called ERISA, which allows these nationwide plans. It's a complicated gobbledygook passed, 30 years ago. But the thing is it allows for nationwide group plans to exist if they have a commonality of interest. So President Obama interpreted this to mean no one could do it because he didn't believe in letting the marketplace work. I think President Trump is very open to trying to encourage the marketplace, and he's also very open to helping people get cheaper insurance. I don't think he's beholden to big business in any way. And I think if the Trump administration can do this, I think they will, and I think they're looking at it. And so I think it would be exciting if all of a sudden that you were to get the White House to say, you know what, the NRA, the credit unions, the restaurant association, all of these different groups could actually form associations. I think it would be empowering millions of people not to subsidize their insurance, but to force the insurance companies to charge them less.
And would that then satisfy you for the overall approach to repeal that they were going to take in the Ryan plan, or how would that affect the...
Well, the Ryan plan has to get less bad or better, whichever direction it can go. But the one thing it does is, even the moderates and conservatives have something in common. We want lower priced insurance and more people to have it. So what if you all of a sudden legalize 20 million or 30 million people to join an association? Now we're talking about something that benefits people instead of just saying, oh, we're going to take away government-funded insurance. What we're going to do is actually give them a cheaper priced or a lower priced or more leverage to get
right.
a better and cheaper
you know,
insurance product. I think it would help everybody to
But it still keeps the mandates in, though, doesn't it, Senator? Senator, you have the under 26
mandate.
You still
have to get rid of the mandates.
Right.
You got to get rid of the mandates. There's a bunch of mandates. There's probably 10, 15 different mandates. And I think Republicans agree on six or seven of them. I would get rid of all of them because I think insurance mandates, it's not the role of the government to mandate insurance, and it also drives the price up. But, you know, people say, oh, the conservatives are purists, they won't vote for anything. If there are 15 mandates in Obamacare and you give me a bill that repeals seven of them, I'll vote for it. But if you give me a bill that repeals zero of them, I probably won't vote for it because I'm afraid that the insurance market will still be destroyed. Republicans will own the replacement bill, and it won't fix the problem.
Yeah, the Freedom Caucus has gotten just slammed by the, mostly by the traditional media and others. Said for them, it's my way or the highway. They were slammed all over MSNBC, even on Fox News. Britt Hume was criticizing the Freedom Caucus. Is that, I find that to be...
The establishment doesn't like the Freedom Caucus because they are principled and honorable men and women, and I have the greatest respect for them. I think they did what absolutely they were elected to do. They did what we told people we would do, is vote for repeal, and they didn't vote for Obamacare Light. And I think that if you look across the country, somebody yesterday produced a poll in all of the Freedom Caucus districts. They're being lauded at home as heroes. It's just the establishment hacks throughout the media who have always been our enemy, who are the ones saying, oh, you know, they're uncompromising and refuse to take something. Well, really, it was actually the House leadership that was uncompromising and refused to talk to conservatives before they plopped this, horrible bill on the floor.
We're talking to Rand Paul here on the Laura Ingraham Show. So if you had to game it out, like one being the least likely, 10 being the most likely, that Republicans this year would be able to revisit the repeal of Obamacare, what would the likelihood be?
I think 70% chance we get a repeal. I mean, I really am still optimistic, and I think it really does still end up coming before we move on to the next issue, because technically it needs to be under this budget reconciliation. And if you want to do tax reform, you have to pass another budget. Once you pass a new budget, you've closed the window on Obamacare. So you'll know it's over if they pass the 2018 budget the next month without fixing Obamacare. But I think we want so much to fix it that we are still open to talking with the moderates. But it has to be something that will help people to get cheaper insurance and help more people to get insurance. It can't be something that just sort of continues part of Obamacare. If it continues the regulations, the market will still be broken and people will still be having their insurance rates go up 20% a year. That's not acceptable.
This was Ted Poe, who left the Freedom Caucus over in the House, said this.
I mean, we spent an hour and a half with the President of the United States, the Vice President, members of the Cabinet, talking and making compromise. And compromises were made, things were added to the bill based upon the input of the Freedom Caucus. But then at the end of the day, no, it was easier to vote no.
He got a lot of airtime for leaving the Freedom Caucus, and then, he's now the favorite flavor for the media.
Well, I think when you look at the Freedom Caucus, actually probably 80% of the Freedom Caucus did stay firm and were making the bill approach something that was much more acceptable. And I actually think we were getting very close. I think they're still moving in the right direction. I think it just required a little more time. I mean, I think to have an artificial deadline and say, now the window's closed, we can no longer find an answer. No, I think an answer is still going to be found. But people need to realize that without the Freedom Caucus, we'd have gotten Obamacare light. They wouldn't have fixed the problem, and in 2 years when Republicans are back up for election again and Congress is being elected, people would have been asking themselves, why did we vote for Republicans if they just gave us Obamacare light and my insurance rates are still going up 25%? So I think the Republican Party should thank the Freedom Caucus for actually trying to get this right and for using their leverage to try to make this a more conservative bill and less of a big government bill.
Well, I completely agree. I think this has been a really... In an odd way, a really good process. Too rushed, too quick, poor reporting. And now that people actually have time to kind of sit down and say, oh, I see what you're saying about the associations or across state lines or whatever the issue is, I think it's going to get better. And we now that we can do this, let's do it better. Let's make it really the best it can be, not just slapdash, get some points on the board, which I think ultimately would hurt everybody. Before we let you go, Dick Cheney came out the other day, and it was about the Russia manipulation of the election, and your dad had an interesting comment. Let's listen.
I think he's a neocon party member. I don't think he was ever a member of the Republican Party. I mean, neocons have their own agenda. Right now, the neocons are Democrats. It looks like Cheney is part of the Democratic Party now.
What was your comment about the old neocons coming forward saying it's the biggest, could be one of the biggest scandals essentially in our democracy?
Yeah, Cheney is the quintessential neoconservative, and the neoconservatives basically have never met a war they didn't like. They are full of internal contradictions, but really they're a danger to the country. And Cheney basically was the chief architect of disrupting the Middle East and really allowing Iran to become so dominant and such a menace over there. We can thank Dick Cheney for it, because once they took down Hussein, they took down the real balance of power within the Middle East. And as a consequence, everybody who's out there complaining about Iran should really thank the neocons, because the neocons actually emboldened Iran and made them such a menace.
It's quite something. There is no constituency for the perpetual war machine. It was not supported at the last election, either Hillary's war machine or Rubio's or anyone else, and certainly not McCain in 2008. But they just keep coming back. It's unbelievable, and it doesn't surprise me one bit, Senator Paul. But you've been a leader on this issue. Thank you so much for joining us. We really look forward to seeing what happens on healthcare. We hope for the best. That's for sure.
Thanks, Laura.
All right, we'll take a break on the Laura Ingraham Show. 855-40-LAURA. Close out this hour. A lot more coming up.
The Laura Ingraham Show.